Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, this is not going to happen.
Not going to happen? Is music not happening?
Not going to happen. It's going to kick in at a very inappropriate time or something. I don't know.
Very inappropriate time. We like inappropriate.
Well, good morning, people out there. Let me sing for you. Yeah.
I was waiting.
No, if I wasn't sick, I would. But, yeah, that's going to sound like
a brain. Oh, come on. She has a beautiful voice, too.
Look, it kicks in when I finally
there
hit the button. Stop it. Wow.
So very quiet.
Because I have it low.
Oh, there we go.
And then it stops. Okay, welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. This is Corey.
And I am Ginger.
And I am the recovering NyQuil addict.
Yay!
Oh, Jesus, here we go already. Yes.
We know, people.
Yes, we know. Thank you. We know there's no music, so maybe you heard it. We don't really know. You'll be okay. It's Friday, and it's a long weekend this week.
It is. I know. You know, well, no, never mind. I'll fix that. I know where I wanted to go this weekend, but it's currently burning, so yeah, no.
Well, let me ask again. So, Ginger, are we working Mondays?
No.
All right. She said no twice in a row. You guys heard it.
Twice in a row. Sorry, folks, I'm sleeping in Monday.
Mm-hmm. So if she calls me Monday talking about, you know, I think we should do a show. I'm going to cut you, Ginger.
No, you won't. You'll be like, oh, I love you, Ginger.
And no, I'm answering the phone and go, and there you have it.
I love you, Corey.
I love you, too. Oh, okay. There's some juicy news that just popped up on my page. I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah? Wait, what you got?
Ooh, I love it. I love me some stock espionage. I love it.
Oh,
what happened? So, wait, I got to wait for it to finish loading. It literally is loading on my page, and it just popped up. Oh, delicious. Okay. Okay, according to a report on the Cincinnati Business Courier, don't ask me how I found this, Zoo Entertainment is threatening are being threatened to be delisted from the NASDAQ.
Wow, what for?
They're being informed that they don't meet the NASDAQ capital market standards. This is also over on GI.biz as well. So the main point of contention is Zoo's stockholder deficit of $5.2 million, as the NASDAQ requires listed companies have to have at least $2.5 million in stockholder equity, which means if you just bought the burger joint on the corner and you're going to name it Mike's Burger Joint, you can't, like, put your stuff up on the NASDAQ because you just opened it, you know.
Yeah.
You can go get, well, you guys know, go look up business practices. Anyway, Zoo had held $4.2 million in stockholder equity at the end of its first quarter this year. But the company's difficult transition from physical to digital distribution led to a loss of $10.1 million the second quarter. So the NASDAQ went over to the Zoo Entertainment old school and knocked on the door. You got 45 days to produce a strategy for meeting the exchange's requirements. And if it's accepted, you still got 6 months more to execute it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So they're saying that they're preparing a plan to regain compliance to submit to NASDAQ. This is the company said in a SEC filing that they did. They said there is no assurance that the plan will be accepted or that our stock will not be delisted. Last month, Zoo stockholders filed a class action lawsuit against the company, alleging that it made materially false misleading statements regarding its financial records in 2010. People who own stock in Zoo Entertainment, run for your life if you want to get out alive.
run, and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
Sell those stocks it. Right now. The market is open. It's been open for several hours in New York. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap. What?
How do you get delisted? Usually by the time you make it to the stock market, you're doing extremely well. You're delisted. Damn.
Wow. That, I don't know what to think about people.
Somebody was buying yachts and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Something, and they weren't sharing with us.
Apparently not. I'm glad I didn't buy any of that.
How rude.
What you
All
got,
right. Like? I have got... Actually, I was just posting it. Let me grab it.
All right.
No coughing. No coughing on me. All right, Cinti Interactive. Interactive. Who? Cinti. I give up. Cinti Interactive announces Sniper Ghost Warrior franchise incoming for iOS.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. All right, so Cinti Interactive. And are you read that part? Cinti. Why do I keep saying Cinti? Cinti Interactive, one of today's fastest growing publishers of interactive entertainment, today revealed that the new addition to the Sniper Ghost Warrior franchise is in development for iOS. Due for release in the first quarter of 2012, Sniper Ghost Warrior for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch will translate all the intense long-range precision gameplay of its console counterpart to tablet and mobile. Currently in development at Vivid Games, based in, oh my gosh, these names, Bydgoszcz in Poland, Sniper Ghost Warrior for iOS will be built on Unreal Engine 3 from Epic Games Incorporated. Mm-hmm. The project, a fully-fledged AAA product, will make use of the Apple device's unique control interface to bring handheld gamers even close to the feeling of being an elite and unseen military marksman. Cinti Interactive's global PR and marketing manager Jonathan Goddard said, "Sniper Ghost Warrior has proven to be a huge commercial success, and we have high hopes for its sequel on console and PC, which are due for release early next year. This new project is being developed from the ground up specifically for iOS devices, which we feel are perfectly suited to the crafting of a truly great sniping experience." Oh, you people and your names. I'm so sorry. Remy Jusis Kosolini, president of Vivid Games, says sniping is poetry in slow motion, up until you pull the trigger. The trigger for upcoming iOS game based on well-known Sniper Ghost Warrior franchise has been pulled by two great Polish companies that teamed up to create premium quality sniping game. Bad translating. We're proud and excited about this project, and we will use our best effort and knowledge to deliver very best elite military experience on mobile market up to date. So Sniper Ghost Warrior, developed by Cinti Interactive's own Warsaw studio and set for release on Xbox 360 video game and entertainment system, PlayStation 3, and PC, first quarter of 2012, takes the bullseye precision of its best-selling predecessor to new and exciting heights. Powered by cutting-edge technology, the missions of Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 are graphically stunning and more challenging as you once again step into the ghillie suit of a special ops sniper to take down the enemy.
Ghillie suit, I'm not even going to ask.
But there are some beautiful screenshots up over on GamingMatrix.com right now, so go check them out.
All right, I'm going to pause my download of a special video. I will tell you about, once I've uploaded it, that is. But I will tell you about Black Ops. Haha, Black Ops. Well, let's talk about this. The average Call of Duty Black Ops players apparently spends about $76 on the experience. This is what Eurogamer is reporting. The figure is based on confirmed sales of 18 million map packs for the record-breaking game and represents an 18% increase on the retail price. The figures are released by Activision CEO Eric Hirschberg at an investor event in Los Angeles yesterday. The news follows the publication of Vivendi's financial results. Vivendi Universal is still around? I didn't even know they were still around. Wow, I gotta get in contact with them. They confirmed how important Activision Blizzard's Call of Duty and World of Warcraft revenues have been to its parent company. In its first 9 months on sale, Treyarch's previous Call of Duty game, World at War, sold 9 million maps at $10 each, an average spend of $68 per player. Modern Warfare 2 sold 11 million packs at $15 each in the same amount of time. And there are over 30 million unique players of Black Ops who collectively have amassed, incredibly, more than 2.3 billion hours of play, Hirschberg said. Wow, some of y'all are just hardcore. To put that number in perspective, that's more than a quarter of a million plays. Quarter of a million years of play. That means our millions of fans spend more time per day on Black Ops multiplayer than they do on Facebook. Damn.
Wow.
Activision Blizzard's second quarter financial results showed revenue of $1.14 billion, 37% of which was generated by digital content. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz earlier this week, Hirschberg argued that the company's strategy of extending the lifespan of a handful of core franchises with digital content is motivated by consumer behavior and not profit. In an interview with Jet, wait a minute, why would you type this twice? Why?
I was wondering that as I was reading some of these others. I was like, wait a minute, why am I reading this again?
Well, I'm skipping over it now. Okay, so anyway, some of you out there are spending way too much money. They're also saying that this approach, with the way they've done the map packs is also the reason for the controversial introduction of Real Money Auction House to Diablo 3, which is going to let you buy and sell your items that you earn in-game. And, of course, most of the revenue has been driven by the map packs, yay, which are distributed online. I was never a fan of map packs. Did you ever buy them for Halo?
No.
I didn't either, and sometimes people would be pissed. You didn't download the maps? No.
No, you want to buy them for me? Sure. But no, I'm not spending my money on them.
Now, that's not to say that I did not obtain them by other means, because there are other ways to get maps. I didn't say it was illegal. They just haven't marked it as illegal as of yet. They didn't say you couldn't do it this way. It's frowned upon to do it this way, but they didn't say you couldn't. So, especially with this whole detachable hard drive business, makes it really easy. So, but yeah, I'm not $10 a pop, dude. That's a manicure, or $10 on a new game or something.
Yeah,
or some shoes in Second Life. I'm just saying, or at least five,
ooh, $10 will get you. Yeah, $10 is going to get you several pairs of shoes.
Five or six outfits, six or seven pairs of shoes, some new hair, a new skin, a new shape, some eyes that are shaped like the ones in Catwoman, a whip, if that's your thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got to find me a whip. Have you seen a whip?
Maybe.
I think I want to dress my girl as Catwoman. She already has the, you know, the short and cute hair and stuff. I think I want to get that one for Halloween.
I have a whip somewhere.
Can? Yeah. I need me a Catwoman outfit, a full outfit.
I can't help you with this. Well,
I have one that's dressed like the 1940s girls with the,
I know where to go for
with the cap. Yeah, I have one. She's the wedge cap and the jacket and the burlesque little short pants, and she's got the feather pants.
That's hot.
Yes, my girl is hot. Walk around singing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy up in this piece. Anyway. I'm out of control and it's morning. Just imagine where the day is going. Okay. Ginger, what you got?
Oh, what have I got? I have got myself laughing, apparently. All right. We mentioned this last night very briefly, but I'm going to mention it this morning for those of you who weren't here last night. There's a rumor going around. Oh, yes. All right, so I pulled this from GamePolitics.com, and it looks like they pulled it from BitMob, and maybe I guess I'll finally tell you the rumor. The rumor is, in 18 months, there's going to be a PS4.
Yes, you made this last night. Please do elaborate.
Mm-hmm. An interesting story on BitMob contends that we could see the PlayStation 4, or whatever Sony plans on calling it, in about 18 months. Citing an anonymous source who claims to be privy to information from a recent high-level meeting at Sony, BitMob is reporting that the PlayStation 4 will be released in 18 months. Sony gave the usual stock response to the story: we don't comment on rumors or speculation. The writer goes on to say that if the story is true, it means that Sony is tossing that 10-year plan right out the window. You know, the 10-year life cycle of that PS2 that the PS2 enjoyed and the PlayStation 3 was supposed to have. BitMob seems to have confidence in its source, which it describes as someone who isn't a neophyte, an outsider, a gossip, a fake, or a show-off. But for now, it is a rumor, but an interesting one in the wake of surviving one of the worst security breaches in this decade and a price cut that is helping the system sell a bit better.
And the tablet they announced day before yesterday.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they could. It could actually be good for business. People a little bit leery of the PlayStation Network right now, and maybe a new system will pique their curiosity and their, you know, keeping up with the Joneses thing, and it could be good for PlayStation.
And well, this is actually a story from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an inflammatory one I'm going to cover. Well, This is over at Game Politics. I love you guys. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, Ubisoft.
What did Ubisoft do this time?
Pardon me. Well, the reflection, Ubisoft Reflections founder Martin Edmondson spoke to Eurogamer. He's also the head of the studio responsible for Driver San Francisco, said that his parent company has every right to use DRM to protect the PC games it publishes from utterly unbelievable levels of piracy. He says, you have to do something, Edmondson. Not a good thing. He says, it's just simply PC piracy is at the most incredible rates. This game costs a huge amount of money to develop, and it has to be quite rightly, quite morally, correctly protected. If there was very little trouble with piracy, then we wouldn't need it. The DRM in Driver San Francisco came under fire for requiring consumers to be online while playing it. Ubisoft later tweaked the DRM so that users only had to sign in once at game launch and then could be played offline. The PC version of Driver San Francisco is developed by Ubisoft Reflections. While Edmondson told Eurogamer that he had no say whether DRM was used, he still thinks it's a good idea. Since the publisher has every right to protect their investment, DRM is not a decision taken by us as a developer at all. It's purely a publisher decision. The publisher has every right to protect their investment. It's difficult to get away from the fact that as a developer, as somebody who puts their blood, sweat, and tears into this thing, and from the developer's point of view, which invests tens of millions into a product, by the time you've got marketing 100 million, that piracy on the PC is utterly unbelievable. Edmondson also told Eurogamer that the decision to use Uplay Passport for the game was also out of his hands. The Uplay Passport is a free code that comes in the retail game, allowing users to access the 11 multiplayer modes and a film director mode. Anyone that buys the game used will have to pay extra fee for access to those features. If people don't buy the game when it first comes out and wait to pay for a rental or for secondhand usage, then the publisher sees absolutely nothing of that. I see how much work, effort, money, and risk goes in the creation of those games. I think it's entirely right that everybody who's involved, the people who take the risk, should have a reasonable chance of financial recouping from that. You know what? You need to let me know how that foot tastes in your mouth, Edmondson. I mean,
yes.
Really, here's the thing. You can put DRM, but some brilliant 8-year-old is sitting in school right now writing up the program that's going to circumvent that DRM. He's doing it right now alongside coloring his picture of the president. And all this work will be for nothing again if that's the way you think, you know, you're putting all your work into it. It's already been established that usually people who do pirate games do end up buying it because we do know how much work you put into it. It's just we live in a bad economy. I'm not saying you should hack. I'm not saying you should steal it. I'm saying to you, get over it. People are still buying your stuff. There are people that do like to have a legitimate copy. They don't want to jump through hoops, and that's where they're pissed off about. I didn't pirate your game. I am buying it, and you're making me jump through too many hoops to play. I just want to put it in and go. I don't want to have to sign in. I don't want to put in any codes. I don't want to have to adjust my router because your system thinks my router is illegal. I don't want to do any of that. It's ridiculous. I'm giving you $60, and I have to go through all this trouble. No. No, I think the publisher needs to think of a different way to protect their investment, if that's the case. It's just... But, yeah, you go ahead and keep talking like that and see how much of your game gets returned. And I love how he said, we don't get any money off of rentals. Yes, you do. Or people, or gamers, or companies would not allow rentals. You're getting money from that. I don't know where you're getting your figures from.
A very dark, moist place on his body.
Do y'all love our ginger? I love her.
You see how I sidestepped actually saying anything?
Yes. That makes it safe for work. You know, that's going to become the new saying. You know what? You can stick it up that dark, moist place in your body.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Safe for work.
Safe for work. It's all about being safe for work. All right, Assassin's Creed Revelations multiplayer beta available for download and launches Saturday. All right, so today Ubisoft announced that the Assassin's Creed Revelations multiplayer beta is now available for download on the PlayStation Network exclusively for PlayStation Plus members and PlayStation 3 Uplay members.
I don't have a... See, that's not right.
and will be playable from September 3rd at 10 a.m., closing on the evening of September 11th. Players can preload. Players can preload to take the proverbial leap of faith into the action the moment the beta starts on September 3rd. The multiplayer beta offers access to 9 characters: the Sentinel, the Vanguard, the Guardian, the Vizier, the Thespian, the Deacon, the Bombardier, the Trickster, and the Champion. 3 maps: Knight's Hospital, Antioch, and Constantinople. And 4 playable modes: Wanted, Manhunt, Deathmatch, and Artifact Assault, which are only a sample of the final multiplayer content. In Assassin's Creed Revelations, Master Assassin Ezio Auditor walks in the footsteps of the legendary Altair on a journey of discovery and revelation.
Altair is hot.
Mm-hmm. It is a perilous path, one that will take Ezio to Constantinople, the heart of the Ottoman Empire, where a growing army of Templars threatens to destabilize the region. Assassin's Creed Revelations will be available on November 15th, 2011. For more information, you can visit assassincreed.com. And if you want to find out even more, if you want to see this for yourself, head over to gamenatrix.com. I've got it up for you right now. And I think I got some screenshots, maybe.
I'm excited about the female character that's playable in multiplayer. And y'all don't want me in multiplayer in Assassin's Creed. Really, you don't.
Oh, why not?
That is my second favorite and very good at genre of gaming. The first is any driving games, I will eat you up. And any stealth games where I get to stab you and cut you by stealth mode, you don't want me playing with you.
That's so hot.
Ask some peoples when I can't think of the name of it now because I've dumped it. I'm so over with it. My Sam Fisher, yeah. Yeah, they had that multiplayer. I was eating people up. Told you that was where my neck snapping and cutting came from. That's where it started. Rare.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Are we going to have DRM, though?
It does not say.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all need to fix that before I even
tell us that.
Yeah, if you don't tell me if it's going to have DRM, I'm really not going to play. I'm not, like I said, I'm not jumping through hoops. It's enough I have to go out to pick up the game. It's hot in Texas, at least through the rest of the month.
Hot is an understatement.
And all my game stops are no longer, close to me within walking distance, so I got to drive some distance to get to the good one where it's cool inside so that I can walk in and, try not to pass out on the floor. No. I don't need any DRM. Just tell me now. All right. So more interesting news about Google Plus. this is going to be a delicious fight. Okay, so iSwifters, have you heard of those people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have invented an innovative app for streaming Flash content to the iPad, which now supports Google Plus games, making it the first app to do so. The company announced this actually yesterday, late in the day, after we had gotten through with the news. I had to share with you because do you not see the juiciness going on here? Ooh, the UWeb incubated company has already found success streaming Flash-based Facebook games to the iPad, nabbing its app over 500,000 users so far. Oh, my God, Ginger, what are you doing?
I don't know. My phone started making noise. Stop.
Bad, Ginger.
Okay. I'm trying to make it stop. No, down.
Yeah, live show. Live show. We'll be right back. Oh, we don't have any messages. Okay. This app remains the only way that the iPad users can play Flash-based games since Apple doesn't support Flash on iOS and is refusing to do so. Support for Google Plus games is included in version 4.1 of the iSwifter app, and it's available for free on the iTunes Store as of yesterday. Now, while Google Plus's user base is nowhere near Facebook's 750 million, the fledgling social network currently in invite-only beta testing is expected to explode when Google opens it up to the public. iSwifter is positioning itself well for that eventuality. Its app already supports all Flash-based Google Plus games, including Dragons of Atlantis and, Ginger Breathe, Zombie Lane.
Yay!
I'm liking that. Zombie Lane on the iPad? Oh, it is so on. iSwifter's technology runs Flash-based content via its cloud infrastructure, and it streams it to the iPad. By doing so, all of the heavy lifting for playing Flash content is done on its servers, and the company gets around the lack of Flash support on the iOS at the same time. Now, the iOS web browser Skyfire takes a similar approach to playing Flash-based videos, but it doesn't yet support complex Flash applications like games, and it costs $4.99. Ooh, free versus $4.99, the free one works better. iSwifter founder Rajat Gupta tells VentureBeat, as people over there at VentureBeat, that it's fairly easy to add Google Plus games to the app. The iSwifter platform's instant on-streaming capability makes it pretty quick and easy to add new games, he said. Gupta tells us he thinks there's a good market for Google Plus games. We've seen time and time again that until there's competition in the marketplace, value to the users is not maximized. That is very true. While Facebook is an excellent gaming platform, there hasn't been any viable alternative available to users. Google Plus is now an alternative because MySpace was no competition. Adoption rates have been decent. However, in either case, the games are not available on the iPad without iSwifter. Mm-hmm. This is true. I'm going to download it like right now because I got the iPad next to me watching, just doing this story. I'm just going to go over and find it. And, Ginger, go ahead. What you doing?
I've got some actual bad news. I'm a little sad about this. Yeah.
Oh.
GamePolitics.com. Layoffs hit 2K Czech Studios. 2K Czech Studios has laid off more than 40 staff, according to a develop report. The layoffs occurred at two studios operating under the 2K Czech brand. One group based in Brno has lost up to 40 developers. Sources inside the company have told Develop. The other studio in Prague has laid off around 10 employees, according to insiders. Both studios employ around 200. 2K Games tells Develop that the layoffs do not mean that the company is changing the focus of the 2K Czech studio. The company told Develop, our goal is to create world-class video game titles remains unchanged. In a written statement, the group confirmed that 2K has realigned its resources to streamline the development process, reduce costs, and maximize studio performance. The studio in Brno says this will result in the elimination of approximately 40 positions and primarily impact the 2K Czech studio in Brno. This was a difficult decision. We believe it will benefit the studio in the long term. Originally formed as Illusion Softworks, the European studio was rebranded 2K Czech in 2008 after Take-Two acquired it. Since then, it has completed work on two multi-platform projects, including Mafia 2 and Top Spin 4. Sorry about the 50 or so people who lost their jobs. I hope they find something else, or I hope they get realigned to another 2K position somewhere.
Well, they could always go work at Montreal.
Yeah.
And work on that. What's that game we were talking about last night? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so remember how I kept saying I was looking to the future, we're probably going to have a license to operate on the internet and this type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a company called MeCard is doing just that, and Me is spelled like we, with two I's. It's called a virtual identity card, and they received $880,000 in seed money as of yesterday. They plan to bring more security to online transactions in the same way that you check IDs offline. I knew somebody was going to do it. Why I didn't do it?
I don't like this.
I think it would benefit for games. I don't know about the rest of everything. And in a way, I guess it could. MeCard is supposed to be like an online passport, a driver's license, proving your identity. To get a MeCard, you register and verify your account, much like other website registration. After the validation goes through, you have the option to attach accounts to your MeCard, such as your bank account. Option, notice it's still an option, credit accounts, social networks, and utilities accounts. Adding these accounts strengthens your identity and allows MeCard to confidently confirm you are who you say you are. The company is trying to create a circle of trust for your online transactions, even if the seller can't physically see proof of your identity. From buying and selling online to using social networks, we often need to be able to prove our identity online and in real time. MeCard will do that by offering an alternative to the traditional offline checks of driver's license, passport, and utility bill. This is from James Varga in a statement. According to MeCard, 70 to 90% of online transactions fall through when proof of identity is requested. With numbers that high, the probability isn't a result of sketchy buyers, but simply the hassle of providing proof outweighs the purchase benefit. Having an ID up front will also speed up the purchase process. An obvious concern is, of course, the security for those with precious accounts, which MeCard assures customers it has. It measures include bank-level online security, authorization tactics, as well as third-party audits to ensure there aren't any vulnerabilities. It runs technology on Yodlee, if you're familiar with that. Mecard also announced that James Varga, a serial Canadian entrepreneur, would become the company's chief executive. I can see where this could go bad. The thing is, I think this is something the government should have done ages ago. They've already instituted the stripe on the back of your driver's license in most states. You all notice there's a black stripe on the back of your driver's license, and they can swipe it. I never understood why they didn't extend this to the online realm so that you could verify your identity, you know, that way. I mean, you but I do like the idea because on one hand, it's dangerous. On the other hand, assuming their data is safe, please, for the love of God, you don't have to put in your information. It's your computer. You have this now as your ID. So, you know, you have people that, you may not believe it, that do drive around in your neighborhoods. We had somebody on that said that, didn't they, when we were doing the hacker show? Drive around the neighborhood, looks for your unsecure network, and you're sitting there typing in your ID and your information, and they can just pull it right off of when you type. So this would kind of keep you from doing that. You have your ID, and that's it. So it's got its pluses and minuses, so I guess we'll see how it goes.
And I know they were teaching us how to do that in junior college.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, if you're, if
my classmates to know.
Well, if you're very tech savvy, you could probably figure out how to do it anyway. It's not difficult at all to do. It's once you figure out what
you just needed a couple of little toys that you could get at
Best Buy, Circuit City.
Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack. Radio Shack is what I was thinking of. Sorry,
I didn't even have those because most people don't secure the network. You didn't even need to do that if you were. Yeah, and we're not advocating this. Okay, this iSwifter thing is cool, by the way. Ooh, this is nice.
We're not. Yeah.
Oh, right. Bejeweled. I'm sorry.
No, Bejeweled. You're not old enough for that.
Zombie Lane.
Oh my God, that voice. All right. So another story from GamePolitics.com this morning. And it's another story about a DRM.
Oh.
Valve on piracy and always online DRM.
Mm-mm.
While some publishers think that obtrusive DRM is the right way to go in protecting their PC game titles, Valve software founder Gabe Newell sees the whole practice as wrongheaded and misguided. Speaking to Kotaku for its Well Played column, Newell said that... Yay! I knew I should have waited there. Newell said that Valve is a broken record on the topic. He says, we're a broken record on this. This belief that you increase your monetization by making your game worth less through aggressive digital rights management is totally backwards. It's a service issue, not a technology issue. Piracy is just not an issue for us. He should know, Valve managed to enter into one of the worst markets for selling legitimate games, Russia. What he found was that the black market pirates were simply doing a better job of localizing games than the companies doing business there.
Mm-hmm.
To deal with this, they simply did a good job of localizing products on Steam. When we entered Russia, everyone said, you can't make money in there. Everyone's pirates. When people decided where to buy their games, they look and they say, Jesus, the pirates provide a better service for us. At the end of the day, Newell sees strict DRM schemes as more harmful than good to publishers that use them. The best way to fight piracy is to create a service that people need. I think publishers with strict DRM will sell less of their products and create more problems. Customers want to know everything is going to be there for them no matter what. Their saved games and configurations will be there. They don't want any uncertainty. True mother flippin' story.
I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
Jay Jukes, as usual, derailing our news show.
Yay.
He says, a little off topic, my Sim and Sim Social seems to have a bit of a BO problem. Just getting that out there.
All right, I'm giving in. I'm Sim Social, here we come.
Anyway, I'm moving along. All right.
I think I've already signed up for it. I just got to figure out where I put it. Sim Social.
Oh, I forgot to check on my stars last night. They had a premiere, too. This can't be good. The tabloids are going to have a field day with my girls. Anyway, people are like, what are you talking about? Star Fever Agency, you should be playing. I'm telling you.
No, now I remember why I didn't play it last time. It's got music. How do I turn it off?
Oh, the Star Fever Agency or the Sims Social?
Sims.
Oh, yeah, you can't turn it off until you actually get in. You know how they roll. It's like DRM for Facebook. You're going to listen to this music until we want you not to hear it anymore. That's how that's going to work. All right. Well, wait a minute. Where's my story? Oh, speaking of Montreal, Eidos Montreal is expecting to ramp up jobs. That's probably why I mentioned it. I was looking at this story. Square Enix is looking to double the headcount of its Eidos Montreal studio to 680 employees, according to a new report. Yay! You all are crazy, but at least you got jobs. Earlier in the year, the company was considering opening a new studio in Canada for at least 100 new staff, but now looks to be settling on increasing the size of the team most recently responsible for Deus Ex Human Revolution, but please fire the person that hired that voice actor. According to La Presse Affairs, the publisher is seeking CAD $2 million of government investment for the expansion, and negotiations are close to final. By 2012, the publisher will create 100 jobs at the studio, with a further 250 people increased by the end of person increased by the end of 2015. You guys with the typing, the GI biz, come on now. The expansion would also put Eidos Montreal as the third largest studio in the region behind Ubisoft and EA. That is fantastical. You people that are looking for jobs, head on up the Canada way. They come down here all the time and talk bad about us. Ginger, did we lose your baby cakes? Are you playing Sims?
No, I'm, I'm here.
See,
I'm
put
here.
Off the zombie lane for you.
I'm here. and I was totally commenting. I just didn't realize I was still muted.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Our Canadian brethren and sister.
Yeah. Someone should catch rain in.
What? Who? What happened?
My redneck roots showing, I guess. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I had a brain glitch or something. I'm totally lost. I have no idea what we're talking about. What are we doing again? Where am I?
That's fine. I'll find us. All right. Perfect World International Plans Community Centered Third Anniversary Celebration.
Yay
for anniversaries!
Yay for anniversaries! Yeah.
Expect a month-long celebration with events and rewards for all players. Perfect World Entertainment, a wholly owned U.S. subsidiary of Perfect World Company, is celebrating... Oh, by the way, if you want the NASDAQ, since you've been asking, it's PWRD, is celebrating the third anniversary of Perfect World International, its flagship MMORPG with visually stunning graphics and unparalleled character customization, on September 2nd. With plans to directly involve its growing community of more than 50 million players worldwide in this year's month-long celebration, Perfect World International will host various in-game anniversary events, a plethora of prizes and bonuses, bonus items including experience points, chic fashion sets, ooh, fashion, as well as rare mounts to reward all players. Oh, that brings up an irritant. Anyways, as a way to welcome new players into the existing community of veteran players, all those who spend time playing Perfect World International during September 2nd through the 4th will be entered into a special raffle to win one of two fabulous prize packs valued at $250 each. The giveaway will include a Logitech G510 gaming keyboard, a $10 gaming card, and a limited edition tiger statue of the Barbarian, the most resistant class in the game. Derek Chan, product manager for Perfect World International, says, "We are very proud to celebrate this milestone with our community of players and offer goodies to every user, even new players. We owe all of the game's success to the fans that have helped it grow and plan to reward every single player regardless of how long they have been with us. We look forward to celebrating many more Perfect World International birthdays with our wonderful community. Already an international phenomenon, Perfect World International continues to grow and evolve with several epic expansions within the past 3 years, including the two most recent, Genesis and Rising Tide. Just this year, the game has become an even larger international hit by launching two new servers in German and French and hosting its first championship tournament in China between teams from 11 different countries, including the USA. All right, so if you want more details on the anniversary, see some screenshots, all that fun stuff, head over to GameMatrix.com.
Yay! All right, as I just Twittered, LG versus Sony.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's true. Eurogamer is reporting LG has just unveiled, and I do mean just unveiled, an alternative to Sony's recently announced PlayStation-branded 3D TV that allows two gamers sat side by side to view two separate images. As reported by Stuff, yes, I said Stuff, Stuff.tv, the LW9800T, due out in September, yes, this month, comes in two different models, a 47-inch screen priced at £1,799 British pounds, as we were corrected yesterday by Cali Girl, or a 55-inch screen for £2,499 British pounds.
British pounds.
British pounds. As well,
oh,
as,
that accent is hot. Keep talking to me.
As well as the local multiplayer-friendly dual-play display that simultaneously outputs two separate images to opposite sides of the viewing angle. The set also offers smart TV features, including 3D video on demand and BBC iPlayer, Facebook, and YouTube apps. It packs a crisp nano-full LED display and comes in a slim 24.4mm thick. The set also includes seven pairs of 3D glasses out of the box. We said seven. Yes, we said seven. You'll need to pay extra for the all right and all left dual play specs. In comparison, Sony's more modest 24-inch set launches this autumn, priced at £499 British pounds, and only comes with two sets of glasses, I believe, if it comes with that many. Ooh. That is so sassy.
That sounds so sassy.
That is so sassy. I didn't know you could see it from different angles. Rawr.
Wow.
And Twitter, two go in, only one will leave alive. You know, that's going to be a juicy fight. You know what? We're getting ready to go into the break. I just noticed something. If you guys haven't checked out the release trailer for Dead Island, there's a character in the trailer that looks suspiciously like a Boomer from Left 4 Dead. Yeah, it looks very much like a Boomer. The minute I saw it, I yelled out, "Boomer!" And then I said, "Oh my God, it is a Boomer. It looks just like it." Check out the trailer. Aww. Go by the site and check out the trailer. It's on our little trailers channel down at the bottom right of the page. Yeah, I'm wondering how many other characters we got. A couple of other... Oh, the boss kind of looks like the boss from Resident Evil. I want to say Resident Evil 3. The one that would say stars. The one that would say stars all the time. Stars. Yeah, him. It looks like him. So, yeah. And that's the first trailer. I still have it up as the first because I've been meaning to tell you guys that since yesterday. NyQuil's a hell of a drug. Okay. It's time for...
I told them in the morning.
You did? Yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You told me to tell them.
About the stars guy? I did.
Oh, no, not the stars guy, but we had the trailer up.
Oh, yeah. I did tell you to tell about the trailer, but I meant to talk about the characters looking so similar. That's not cute. All right. So it's Friday. It's Labor Day weekend.
And you want to come back? Because I got Smurfs. We're going to be grabbing us Smurfs.
You know what? I'm not even going to ask. We're gonna go through our brain, which is something like that. Is that right?
No.
Oh, no. Why does GLaDOS do this to us?
GLaDOS,
oh, let no,
look at that.
No,
oh, no.
Yo. Oh,
go
no, you.
Santa Fool person for sale.
All right, then we're just going to go. Unfortunately, at some point, guys, in the next 2 minutes, you're going to lose us. Do not fret. You can download and listen later, or just stream it live later if you're just starting to listen to us. Well, if you just start to listen to us, we'll probably be finished by the time you get to this part. You know where to find us, GamingHX.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. Oh, by the way, we're not doing anything special, but today's our birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday to us.
GamingHX is officially 9 years old. Can you believe it?
Wow. 9 years.
We are trouble incarnate. Rawr. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm not doing anything special because I've been sick. I
started thinking about it last night. I have 2 weeks until my res day in Second Life, which means I've been with Game Nature for a year.
Yes, you have. And then we got Snow's birthday coming up. Oh, y'all have to stop this. Y'all trying to kill me.
No.
October's coming up. I'm preparing the Halloween.
My birthday's then.
Yes, your birthday's in that month. I'm preparing Halloween stuff. You all are trying to kill me.
I love me some Halloween stuff.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I live in the boonies, so it's kind of a waste.
Well, no, I'm preparing stuff online for you guys. Excellent.
Ooh.
A lot of it will be, some of it will be in Second Life. Some of it is some games I've found roaming around the web that are kind of scary, kind of fun, and things to do. We'll tell you what to do for Halloween parties. That's very gamer unique. But you know where to find us. Anyway, Ginger, sing for the people while we go into the break, because we got 57 seconds.
Cha-la-la.
You touch my cha-la-la. You touch my cha-la-la. All right. I can't play I Swift and my battery's low. Okay, we're on the other side. Do it.
All right. Beeline Interactive Incorporation's Smurfs Grabber now available on the Apple App Store.
I don't like the way that sounds. Grabber?
I know, right? Lend the Smurfs a helping hand with the release of Beeline Interactive Incorporated's Smurfs Grabber for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Blending elements of whack-a-mole and arcade-style claw games, Smurfs Grabber lets players capture delightful Smurf-themed items with a tap of their iOS device. Based on the original cartoon and comic art, the objective of the game is to maneuver the decidedly Smurf-inspired claw around the playfield and capture flowers, berries, mushrooms, and more. By collecting certain items before the time runs out, players can craft potions, bouquets, and baked goods, which they can then use to unlock unique items. The game includes three machine themes based on fan favorites, Papa Smurf, Smurfette, and Greedy Smurf. 7 different power-ups, including Baby Smurf's Rattle, Brainy's Glasses, Hefty's Barbell, and Painter's Brush, keep the fun fresh with effects like adding time or experience multipliers. Smurf's Grabber is available on the Apple App Store. The game is free to play, but charges real money for additional in-app content. So don't let your little girl play this, because, that's totally how
that woman got caught.
$7,000 or something. For more information, you can visit their you don't want to visit that. You can check them out. No, you don't want to go there. All right, Facebook. Check them out on Facebook. Facebook.com. Look up Beeline Games.
All right, some quick notes. In just a short moment, or not a short moment, but it's probably sometime after this, you will be able to catch the latest trailer for Battlefield 3. I also wanted to let you guys know, we've been promising this. The fashion section for Second Life is now live, or virtual fashion, period. We'll be adding some other stuff there, but we're building a section up. If you are a fan of Second Life, you like some clothes, go over and check it out. Ginger's posting up some of her outfits, and we got all kinds of cool stuff over there.
I got a whole bunch more yesterday from doing some hunts. I got to post up.
Y'all be afraid. There's also some stuff up from past fashion weeks that we've gone to. And as we go along, there'll be more stuff added. I'm thinking today I'm going to throw Ginger up a news flash so she can just really keep y'all updated. So if you're one of those people that's really into the virtual fashion, you like making the virtual clothes or looking at them, whether it be in, what's that other one, Meebo?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Meebo designer, send us a link to your stuff, because that's not a world we're in. So we like to see what you're doing. I've seen some clothes on there that are absolutely gorgeous too, considering it's Meebo or whatever it's called. I keep wanting to say Meeru. Damn Meerus.
I've got a Meeru.
I am not talking to you anymore.
only one, and I'm not breeding it.
It is over between us, Ginger, because you have a Meeru. I swear to you all, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to write the code that's going to kill Meerus. They're going to die. And if you don't know what a Meeru is, they're a little Second Life AI little pet thing.
Why would you want to kill my Meeru?
They need to die. They need to die.
No.
I'm gonna ask to hold somebody's Meeru, and I'm going to start a virus. Kid you not. You don't want...
I'm not inviting you over to my house.
I already tried to open one. Somebody gave me one, and I tried to open a little bastard, and I couldn't get him open. But as soon as I... Oh, man. Somebody give me some source code. They're going down. Meerus are going down.
I like my Meeru. Oh! I heard rumors that those babies that everybody's been playing with, like the one that I had the other day to test it, they're putting that code in the prettier babies.
I told you they would.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was growing way too big. He was like, he didn't grow right. He was bigger than you.
Yeah, so, no, he did not grow right.
But if you want to know what that baby is, what was it? Baby tattoo? Was it
baby tattoo?
Mm-hmm. Baby tattoo. Yeah, go check that out on our site. That was some brilliant AI. I have to say, that's one of the more realistic ones I've seen.
Yes.
Fantastic AI. I also frequented Dark Alley last night. I had not seen some of the new things that they the company that makes all that stuff that, you know, knocks you out, you can drag people around.
Mm-hmm.
I stood there for about an hour going through the vendor. Absolutely beautiful. Y'all know I'm a code junkie. I love when people make good stuff because I'm terrible at programming. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I do okay. So I love seeing when they make stuff. Beautiful, imaginative things. I'm going to have to buy me a sim and just build it.
I went there. I was a little upset. That place is not dark at all.
Dark alley?
I was, like, waiting for the Sesame Street characters to, you know, go waltzing by or something. Bert and Ernie would be hanging out the window yelling at each other or something.
Well, you know, we talk about this all the time on here, is that just because you can make a game doesn't mean you should. When you hear us talk about a sim, we're usually referring to an area that somebody has set up to be a gameplay area. And
mm-hmm.
some people are not game developers, not even amateur-wise, they don't understand the concept of how to do things. So those are the places you go that are not what they should be. Dark Alley is supposed to be this dangerous place where there's drugs going on, people are getting robbed and beat up and raped. And, of course, you have to buy things, you know, to wear so that people can do this to you because, as we tell you, nobody can do anything to you in Second Life you don't want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go to places. Dark Alley sounds very menacing when you say the title, but when you get there, it's not
all light and pretty and clean, and there's, like, nothing.
Yeah, and I have been to Sims that look like Dark Alley sounds. One I went there was completely empty, and it was so beautifully built. Who owned it had went so far as to make it so that there was trash blowing in the wind. It was like a piece of paper was tumbling. I was like, this is gorgeous, and there is nobody here.
Yes, I'm going to have to take you to the one where I've been hanging out off and on.
Beautiful, beautiful. But you could tell somebody, you know, somebody has got an eye for game design that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they don't have the other side. So if you get a team together, like if you had us here at Gamenatrix, we would probably put together a kick-ass game in Second Life. And we will take upon that task one day. We're just not ready yet.
No, not ready yet, but when we do, it's going to totally kick ass.
It's going to be demented. Nobody's going to speak to us anymore.
They're going to be like, oh, my God.
I'm telling you, standing there in front of the vendor, I was like, oh, is that chloroform?
I've been hearing a lot about that recently. Anyways.
We got to get back to news. See, this is where it gets interesting when we're not live.
I know, right?
It's my turn. Isn't it my turn?
Is it your turn? All right.
It is. All right. Well, Square Enix, did I tell you they appointed a new COO?
No, you didn't.
Well, former vice president of business. Wow, I love when, don't scroll when you're reading. Okay, Square Enix promoted Clinton Foy, to the position of COO. Foy held the position of vice president of business and legal affairs at Square Enix for the last 6 years. He also served as general counsel, and this is via GI.biz. His new responsibilities will include leading the company's business development initiatives and online group, as well as watching over the business and legal affairs department. One of the key new responsibilities of the COO role will be to shape and drive more aggressive business development initiatives in free-to-play, social, mobile, browser, and emerging platforms. This is from the Square Enix president and CEO, Mike Fisher. Y'all stop with the Twitter and Ginger and whoever's Twittering me now.
It's not me.
Bad, all of you. Clinton's valuable experience makes him uniquely qualified to lead our organization in these important areas. Now, before joining Square Enix, Foy worked as an attorney with Heller Urman, where he represented high-profile clients like Microsoft, Yahoo, and Sony. Foy takes on his new role in a period of decline for Square Enix. The company reported a loss of $140 million last financial year. Both revenues and profits were down in the last quarter as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not good.
No good. But maybe he'll come in and, you know.
Maybe.
Do what he does. While I'm on the short stories, those of you who like Cheap Trick and know I'm not calling you a Cheap Trick, the band.
Cheap Trick.
You Cheap Trick. No, the band Cheap Trick and EMF are lined up for download DLC. For Rock Band, if anybody out there is playing it, I gotta get together with people. I do enjoy playing Rock Band online with a bunch of people. That is fun. I didn't get enough of that. Vintage U.S. Rockers, Cheap Trick offer up I Want You to Want Me Live, Surrender Live. I hate that song. I'm sorry. Dream Police, don't like that one either. Whereas EMF chime in with ubiquitous 90s indie disco favorable. Unbelievable. I do love that. You can download them from September 6th, priced at about 99 British pounds, $1.49, some other, I don't know that one, 200 Wii points, 160 Microsoft points each, or 550 Wii points, 440 Microsoft points for all three Cheap Trick tunes. Surrender and Unbelievable also have Pro Guitar and Pro Bass expansions available for additional 100 Wii points and 80 Microsoft points. But some of you out there like it. I'm telling you, if they would just reinvent themselves and come out with some crazy, you know, orchestra, you know, here's a violin, and just go all out with the instruments. I'm telling you, they would revive that whole thing. We have orchestra, we have country band, we have thrash band, we have punk band. Just go crazy with it. I'm telling you, I'd buy them.
Yes. That could be awesome.
Because some of us like all genres of music, and you're not covering them all. You're trying to, but you're not doing a good job. You're kind of grabbing here, one here and one there. I think I saw
Earth. Some of us miss our geeky band days.
Yeah. I was a geeky band girl. I was in the band. I'm an overachiever. Band, choir, track, team, school, newspaper.
Oh, no. See, I drew the line right after band. Band and dance, and that was it.
I was in dance for a week. Twitter, just a Twitter, really, Ginger? Cutting. Lucky I can't cut you live.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left, right?
Yeah, we got about four. Do it.
All right. Research in-game ads for action games, a bad idea. New research from the
Say that. I'm sorry. I spilled the coffee on me. What did you say?
In-game ads for action games, a bad idea.
Yes, I concur.
Mm-hmm. New research from the University of Texas. Yay! Notes that players have trouble remembering brands advertised in action games with violent content. According to the new study, ads that appear in violent games actually may have a negative effect on the brand being sold with those playing the violent games they are being advertised in. The study, authored by doctoral candidate Sung Chul Yu and assistant professor Jorge Pina, will appear in the July-August issue of Cyber Psychology, Behavior, and Social Networking. Do I want that? The study's main claim to fame is that it is the first to link increased video game violence and impaired in-game ad effectiveness. Fair enough. All right, so researchers divided participants into two groups. The first group explored a number of rooms that included blood spots on the floor while being attacked by computer-controlled characters wielding weapons. The second group was presented with a nonviolent take of the same setting, with players walking through rooms with water spots and encountering empty-handed AI-controlled NPCs. In the violent version of the scenario, participants were wielding weapons and being shot at. After the demo ended, participants were asked to recall the brands advertised within the test world and offer their perceptions of those brands in that context. Those who participated in the violent scenario had a significantly lower score when it came to the brand recollection and perception. Women had a more negative response to the violent content than men. Researchers believe that the reason for this is because women have less experience with violent games than men who play them more frequently.
Oh, good Lord.
Sexist. You should brought me in. I'll shoot you in the head. Right, you and Pina come to the conclusion that violent content distracts attention away from ads and creates a subconscious association between the negative imagery and the brand being advertised. They said that a similar effect has been documented with television. Advertising campaign planners would do better to spend their budget on ads embedded in nonviolent video games than in ads placed within violent video games, particularly if they are trying to reach women, says you. Or maybe advertisers should be smart in the way they place ads in games where there is a lot of action, violence, and gore. Yeah.
Well, I would think it has nothing to do with the violence and more to do with the fact that I'm trying to play and you're putting ads in front of me.
I'm fighting for my life and you want me to pay attention to the...
All temperature cheer.
I'm not thinking about laundry when I got zombies coming at me. Sorry.
And I will tell you why that's also that research is off. I can tell you while playing GTA, remember we were talking about last night, the ads on the radio? Mm-hmm. I've heard almost all of them. There's a couple that, you know, will pop up every now and again that I haven't heard. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you almost all of them. Sometimes it's going on when, you know, there's a fast driving scene. But when I'm fighting, if I was in the car and the radio was on, I don't hear anything because I'm focused on trying to, as Ginger say, fight for my life. So, no, I don't care about the ads then. But if I'm just driving around in the game, I can tell you there's a beer called Pisswasser, and which I love. I've never tasted it, never seen it in real life, but I stop and read the billboards in the game. Look, Miss Walter, I can tell you there's a show called America's Next Top Hooker. So, yes, it does work.
Oh, awesome.
So, yes, you can do ads in-game, and those ads run on the radio in GTA. So, no, do your research again. It has nothing to do with the violence of the video game. It's the time that you show it to me that's going to irritate me. That's where the negative association comes in. You guys need to ask questions and get some real women gamers in there. All right, it's time for us to go. Ginger's phone is screaming at her and all kinds of stuff.
I don't know.
So, guys, I do want to let you know, we will not be here Monday, as you've heard. Ginger called it. I do let her call it. We're going to be sleeping in Monday. Do not Twitter me on Monday asking where's the show. I most likely will not be sleeping, but I will be probably playing something or eating some barbecue somewhere because, you know, in Texas, you barbecue the night before, so my barbecue will be done Labor Day. So while you're out in the heat.
Stop,
Ginger, stop. Don't eat the babies. They're babies.
Yummy.
And Ginger sent me pictures of her goats. You know, when I come to your house, I know what the meat looks like. Don't think you're going to fool me.
Aw, come on.
Don't think you're going to fool me talking about his beef. I can't eat beef anyway, and this is not beef. So, no, you are not fooling me. No. Ginger.
But.
No. All right, guys, have a very happy Labor Day. We will see you next week on Tuesday. Keep an eye on the site, of course. As always, we're always updating over the weekends with some interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what we'll find and share with you. And I'm thinking about maybe Monday, depending on if I can get through this. The hacker game I keep telling you about, as soon as I get a little further, I got some codes to share with the listeners.
Yay, I can't wait.
Labor Day codes.
Yay, thanks.
Maybe.
To keep you occupied while you're trying to ignore your family who are down visiting. By the way, if any of my family's listening, that was not aimed at you particularly.
Yes, it was. She lied.
Right, maybe it was.
She lied. All right, we are out of here, people. Have a good Labor Day. And happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us. Bye, boys and girls.
That is horrible sounding. Wow, we're out of here.
Bye.